He talks about how blockchain is the technology, Bitcoin's just in the way. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
You could take that quote and put it back to 2018, 2016. You could go back and it's exactly the same quote.
All right. Welcome back. Another week, another episode.
Episode 112.
112.
Here we go.
Should we say the numbers after them?
Too late.
Well, I don't think we have.
Yeah, we're doing it now.
No,
okay. We're committed going forward. Okay. Agenda, spot ETF trading volume, Franklin Temple tweeting about Solana and Ethereum, Jamie Dimon. I have this problem every time, don't I?
Demon.
I would go Diamond. So
cool. I mean, if you switched out with an S, Simon, but okay, JB Demon.
I was using demons because he's a demon.
Okay. He says Bitcoin's pet rock. Bitcoin hash rates dropped. VanEck have been doing some trolling. Bitcoin is second largest commodity in the US. And Donald Trump's weighing in on CBDCs. FTX selling Bitcoin through Grayscale's ETF. SEC swim. SEC sim swap. God made some online pasta do a crypto scam. No, we're going to talk about it. And Mt. Gox creditors.
Classic.
Okay.
Let's go. Sweeping to do today.
Let's go. Okay. Spot Bitcoin ETF trading volume surpassed 9.7 billion in the first 3 days.
Price?
Oh, yeah, that. $40,000. $40,165.
It was under 40 for a bit, wasn't it?
So when we printed this about 30 minutes ago and the price has come down since.
Anyone get a smash buy in under 40?
I did.
I might have a DCA set up.
Yeah. You get it in the 38s. Yeah. I got it in 38.
Ooh.
I missed it.
When was 39 this morning?
Like usual. Yeah, it was 39 yesterday, and it went down to about 38 something, just over 38, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
Last time we'll see 30. You know, when every time it turns,
okay,
that's the last time we'll see it. Till next week, but we might see it.
Could see it during this pod if
yeah. No, don't do that. Get rid of that now.
There we go.
That's the end of 30s. Anyway,
yeah, 40,000.
Had a dip, but did we talk about this, the gold ETF, and whether it's just doing the same thing as the gold?
We didn't talk about it on the pod. I think we talked about it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, if you get the gold ETF.
Yeah, if you look at the chart for the gold ETF launch, I think it was down, it went dropped for 300 days before it recovered back to the price, and then it skyrocketed.
It was like volatile.
It dropped and then was like static, wasn't it? Like 300 and then
Is it a fair comparison? You'd have to.
No.
No, you have to go way far out.
It's max, and it
way
went
back.
Really
way back.
Yeah, you've got just Google Images. There'll be an image.
Yeah,
like
it's a good image actually.
Yeah, and is it a fair comparison? Like, it's the only other commodity I can think of with a new ETF.
So it'd be that.
So that one or
that? Yep. Yeah, not the X.com one. I think that's kind of thing.
Here we go.
But you can't, unfortunately, if you look at that the. It launched, and you'd have to zoom in heavily.
Yeah, the one I saw was a dead zoomed in one just on the year.
But yeah, you can see it dips just as it's launched. There you go.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, that is obviously a long period.
That's like a full year, basically.
Oh, yeah. Within that green circle. So that green line is launched. And then the
green line's launched, the drop's the red bit after it, and then it's like kind of static for a little bit, just a year, and then starts to go up.
Okay. So that's the effect of an ETF on gold, another commodity similar to Bitcoin.
I don't think you can compare it to Bitcoin.
Oh, well, that's just a waste of time then.
just my opinion.
Sorry, guys, it's a waste of time. No, I don't think so.
Not comparable.
Yeah, we're just talking about another commodity with an ETF.
Wait until 300 days later.
Sorry, Danny. I mean, if it matters, it's correlation rather than causation, I think, of similar.
But we were talking about, we were trying to compare them, but like obviously, if Bitcoin's like the only one that's trading 24/7, you know, the markets don't open and close for Bitcoin. Gold is similar, but not similar. Like, you can do off-the-market trades with gold. I can just trade with you, but then it's not on the market at that point.
I think it's about...
So Bitcoin is unique.
I think it's about 8 hours a week that gold closes for, because there's markets all around the world.
Yeah.
So there's a gold market at some point open, except for about 8 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
And that led me to posed the question to Danny, I think, at the time, which I thought was an interesting one of, do you think US regulators might want to start bringing in market open and closing times for Bitcoin trading? Do you think that's ever a thing that would happen?
I don't think.
I don't think they could do it. They couldn't because it's a global thing.
Yeah, couldn't.
It had to be a global attempt.
But so is gold, isn't it, really?
But that means you would create a stable coin, effectively, in the sense Bitcoin would be a stable coin during outside of trading hours because theoretically wouldn't move.
Yeah, but you can trade gold outside the ETF, can't you? So yeah, it's just an ETF market. It's just one ETF price.
You don't trade it necessarily. You trade, but you can buy it, like you can buy physical gold outside of it, obviously, but that doesn't move the market.
That's not on a market, is it?
On a market. So it'd be like...
It must be eventually on a market. All roads lead back to...
Yeah, eventually on a market that opens and closes, though.
Right.
But Bitcoin is 24/7. So all I'm saying is, do you think there'll be any pressure from regulators eventually to try and create this open and closed Bitcoin market?
I don't think so. If I'm honest, I don't think it's possible. It might cause them some problems in terms of retail preempting what's going to happen.
That's what we talked last week about, because
of the freedoms.
Retail can front run institutions at the moment,
which they're not going to like.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll just conclude quite early that it's impossible and just deal with it.
You can see them saying they're going to bring it in and then they just realise they can't.
It'd be like countries trying to ban it. We're banning it over there.
The rest of the world's embracing it, so we're going to fall behind. Yeah. So we have to follow suit.
Anyway.
Cool. Right. Price done.
Okay. Spot Bitcoin ETF trading volume surpasses 9.7 billion in the first 3 days.
And that's actually old news now. We've got an updated figure from that.
Oh, have you?
That is quite old. That's
like 17 gold. Good effort, though.
Not yet.
I just give what I get.
We're like it. I guess the set of the point of what this would be, there we go, 14 billion.
14 billion last week.
What's the sentiment that it's been successful? I saw that Twitter video the other day saying in all measures, someone from BlackRock analyst, she was on television, some sort of television. There was a video of her. she said, what did she say? In all measures, it's been a huge success.
I love the people arguing that it's not.
It's because the price has gone down.
Well, Cramer did. Cramer said
it. But that was who I was trying to think of.
Oh, right. Yeah, Cramer said it's not. What did he say? Won't get a footing.
It's going to struggle to find its footing.
Yeah, we're right back. There's Cramer. I don't want to keep quoting it, but that's a bottom call.
He also said, like, Bitcoin is a tough keep right now or something like that.
Maybe say that it's not been a successful ETF as well, because we did. I nearly read and was trying to get close to ratioing him on that tweet.
What did you say?
I liked it.
I didn't see that.
No, I stopped liking.
Do you know Danny retweets himself sometimes just so you can see it?
Yeah, I didn't think I retweeted this one, to be fair.
You did, because that's how I saw it.
Okay. It was maybe because I thought, I need to try and ratio him. We'll go with that. He tweeted about saying, the Bitcoin ETF has been unsuccessful, basically. And then I just replied saying, you're calling like the most successful ETF launch in all time unsuccessful. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
I did well. I think you got 1,000. Over 1,000 likes.
Yeah, it's about 1,500.
Did you? I did not see that.
Yeah. I nearly ratioed him and then he caught up and sped away from me a little bit.
Okay.
That was all I cared about, ratioing. I didn't care about what I said.
Yeah. So, what was the up to date for this?
I think, was it at 15 billion, was it, something like that?
First week.
Inflows. Obviously, it's massively skewed. If we've got Grayscale on here at some point, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
FTX.
Yeah.
The FTX thing, yeah. So the Grayscale side is massively denting it, making a big impact on it, because Grayscale are bleeding at the minute in terms of people leaving theirs, because they had 28 billion to start with. Now we're starting to see who them people are, one of them being FTX, and FTX had about $1 billion worth of Bitcoin in Grayscale to sell, which they've now sold. So... it's been reported that they've sold. So I think we're fully aware, and I've also got my thought process from last week that I couldn't quite explain,
of why they're keeping the fees.
Oh my God, this might be the first time we've ever come back to anything from a previous podcast.
Don't let them do it.
No.
Why they kept 1.5% fee rather than reducing it down to compete.
Come on, what was your thought process?
I can't remember again, I forgot.
why would you bring that?
Would it somehow affect what FTX are doing? Would it affect their rates? So if they keep it high, do they get more out of FTX at the minute or something like that?
No, so in sense, yeah, there's a little bit of that. But it's mainly, so if they've got 28 billion under management, they know they're going to bleed some out and people are going to leave, but they've done the calculations effectively, looked at that and said, okay, well, if we half, everyone else is going to like 0.2% fees and stuff, and even if they halved their fees, they're still at 0.75, which is still more expensive than all other nine ETFs, I think. Mm-hmm. So they're still not competing on price by halving their fees. Mm-hmm. Are they going to lose 14 billion, 50% of their assets under management? And they've probably worked out, looked at all the customers, looked at their sort of who they are in the demographic. Obviously, they all know one's FTX and they know they're going to lose that $1 billion.
Mm.
But they'd have to lose 50% to even then still be just making the same money as they're currently making.
Do you think they've got data on an ETF where they went from futures to spot previously and didn't lose as many?
Potentially. I think they'll have looked at lots of different data points. So another data point is taxable event. So somebody selling the Grayscale one is going to create a taxable event for them, which they might not want to do at this point in time. So they're going to probably keep a massive portion of people because the tax event that they create might end up being more than what the save moving to a different ETF. So at the minute, there's a combination of lots of things like that. What I think they've probably looked at, there's the one as well where if an institution comes out of the ETF, they usually have contracts and things in place where it'd be like 30 days they can't go into another.
Oh yeah, it's like a wash trade.
So they wouldn't be able to do that. So in theory, they're just going to have to sit and hold in Grayscales because it would be more worth, they believe Bitcoin will go up, for example, more than 1.5% in the next 30 days. They may as well just stick with Grayscale and hold. So I think they've probably analyzed their customer base properly there and worked out that even if they lose 10 billion, they're still going to be making more money than they did if they'd have reduced fees and tried to compete.
That makes sense. Still got the most assets under management, as long as they stop bleeding. And
is that outflow still there? Are they still bleeding?
It was the FTX one, I think, was the more recent one.
The biggest one.
And then I think there was another one that someone said that was to come, I think, or they'd moved, but it's, you know, even if it's, is it a billion a day or something?
Yeah, so for those that don't know, FTX had $1 billion in there that they sold off their entire balance as well.
Yeah, the outflow from them was only about 2.6 billion, was I think, at the time when the FTX thing came out. So FTX made up $1 billion.
$1 billion of that.
2.6 billion, I think. It's
not looking as bleak as people think for Grayscale, really.
No, possibly not. They might hold and maintain quite a chunk. But yeah, I think
they're all rating to be, all of them have kind of hinted at there's going to be two or three big ones and the rest are probably going to fail. So Grayscale want to keep the AUM as high as they can. So they've got a head start, essentially.
The Grayscale CEO said that themselves.
Yeah.
There's only going to be two or three ETFs that will be here in the long run.
Yeah. And they're earning, they take 1.5% on that at the minute a year. That's massive. That's such big income for them. It's such a big business model. So even if they can maintain, say 50% over the next couple of years of what they currently have, it's still massive numbers. And it's way bigger than what other ones are at. And they'll take years to build to that. So yeah, I don't think...
Well, it's worth waiting for that explanation in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
A week later.
We got there.
Cheers, Danny.
We got there.
Right, okay. Franklin Templeton, they were tweeting about Solana and Ethereum and how ordinals and layer ones shouldn't be ignored as they are vital to solving Bitcoin's economic security problem and increasing Bitcoin's utility as a store of value.
So yeah, out of everyone, I think they've had the worst, like the PR approach to this,
It's been awful.
If there's been any loser from the ETF, it's Franklin Templeton.
Yeah.
The lack of research done from them on
so
this
buzzword is heavy.
Incredible, considering they've bragged about how much they've researched along with a load of others. It's ridiculous.
It's just the absolute lack of integrity in what they're doing. It's just...
It's the ultimate LARP, isn't it? It's the ultimate LARP.
But it's clear for everyone to see. Any fan of any of those coins will just see that and just go, oh, Franklin Templeton, we know what they're about. And it's not... You know.
They're almost in like the BitBoy category. They'll say anything to get a like and a retweet. And that's literally the angle they've gone at.
They are, though, aren't they? Look at this.
They were impressed by Solana's meme coins and NFT innovations.
So tell the detail. The meme coins and the impressed piece
what
that you are.
Impressive about them?
Yeah.
It looks cool.
It just seems like a lazy tweet.
Kind of a get dig, don't they?
Seems like a lazy tweet, just listing terms.
Yeah.
Maybe
buzzwords, that
is. It's just a buzzword list.
Vanek doing that, I think, was a good
fight. I read that and was like, what the heck is Zeetcoin?
They're not allowed to say shitcoin.
So instead of saying shitcoin, they say how are you pronouncing
it?
Don't shitcoin if you have laser eyes on. Yeah, that's what it's saying.
Oh, Vanek, well played.
The penny dropping for Dame and lying on the father.
Why did they replace in? Why not like asterisks? Like,
why not a little dollar sign and a...
Yeah, like, why?
ZT is like an online term, I think, instead of using the word shit. Yeah.
Oh,
maybe they don't want to call them shit coins because they're also planning on getting into shit coins as well.
So actually, by using that term, they like
softens it a bit. Yeah. You know.
Nothing will stick on them.
It's okay for them as long as they have laser eyes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
So yeah, at least some people are paying attention in some way. Like, I don't know, they might still... I'm still wary and cautious of all these people anyway. And they may still have different things happen in the future. But
what is Bitcoin's economic security problem?
So this is, again, a good buzzword they've thrown in there. And it's come just from people thinking, having the question of, okay, in 100 years' time, when halving has happened X amount of times and there's no rewards from Bitcoin mining, then you're going to end up in a situation where the only way that the miners can survive is based off the fees. And if the fees are not high enough, the miners are not going to mine, which means the miners turn off, which means it's in less secure infrastructure and network. So they're saying that the fees need to increase for security to stay high and increase. You know, we're also talking about a problem that's going to exist in 100 years' time, not in the next 10, 20, 30 years, realistically. Don't get me wrong, the halving does kick in and they will halve, but if price moves accordingly, which it has done historically, then it works itself out. It creates an equilibrium.
Yeah. It's not right now as well, but the hash rate was an all-time high fairly recently.
Yeah, and the fees were too high, but I know that's come from ordinals, and that's their argument that actually bringing in ordinals solves this problem. It's like you're just creating a new problem
like they've taken such a long-term horizon for that issue, like 2140 is when is when that might be a thing, but like they wouldn't be saying for the US dollar, which is currently £32 trillion indebted to in America, they wouldn't be saying the USD's economic security problem, which is fundamentally a problem for the right now. So it's like pick your battles and pick your time frames.
Well, they pick the buzzword. It's just the buzzword they heard. It's down the buzzword along with the rest of them.
Yeah, just annoying.
So yeah, and the layer two solutions, what's that got to do with the economic security problem? I mean, I'm not quite sure what they're even getting at with that, because the layer two take off transactions from layer one.
So ordinals, essentially.
Fees would be lower.
Makes a more competitive block, doesn't it, if it's filling the block?
Ordinals, but layer two doesn't. That's just nothing. They've got that completely wrong.
Layer two is the opposite, in fact, isn't it?
Yeah.
It takes
creates more of a fee problem. Yeah. Well, there's less fees.
It's turning from there. They know what they're talking about. They've used the word layer two.
Yeah. Look at the laser eyes.
Franklin Templeton, they're massive. No, Mom.
They shouldn't be ignored.
Idiots.
They would sound like idiots, though.
I mean, ordinals and NFTs. Ordinals are, you know, it's a slightly different concept in theory to an NFT of what they're trying to do there. But the NFT, like buzz from the altcoins, they came and went with the hype cycle. Now you can spend on any of the other altcoin chains for fractions of a penny because there's no one using NFTs. So, you know, there was never what they're saying there with ordinal as a solution to it is a short-term hype cycle solution. As soon as back into bear market, that has disappeared and the problem is still there. So it's like they're not even really solving anything. Unless someone can find a genuine use case for something like ordinals or NFTs that has a real world use case that is actually used by people in the real world as a daily activity, like money would be. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they can argue. People will start to argue, well, images can be in JPEGs and X, Y, and Z or contracts.
Scarcity certainly can be.
it's art, isn't it? That, but that's what a lot of them argue. Well, this is art, and it's like, okay, come on. But
there's collector's items.
That's ordinals are kind of more the collector's satoshis, but you're collecting the money. It's like people that collect coins, and at that point, isn't it more so? And notes and things that have the serial numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
You get certain ones. Which, yeah, there is a real world use case for that, and it's people collecting them in the world, not on the Bitcoin side, but on the coin collectors and things. There is a very, very niche market for that. I agree, but it's a very, very niche market that's not going to support a global currencies network.
Not many
problems. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, it's like not many economies are built on collectibles, are they?
No. Hey, let's not bring up Beanie Babies. Think of security problems solved with Beanie Babies.
Right, okay. Next one, Jamie Demon says, Bitcoin is a pet rock and does nothing.
Is this old? Because it's somewhat, the pet rock thing's been brought up so many times.
Saying it again.
He's just spread it somewhere.
Saying it again.
He talks about how blockchain is the technology. Bitcoin's just in the way. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
You could take that quote and put it back to 2018, 2016. You could go back and it's exactly the same quote.
Yeah. And again, he lists all the use cases, which are money laundering, terrorist finance. And it's like, look at JP Morgan. Yeah. Sorry, man. The number one money launderers in the world.
Yeah.
That's why I like all those tweets that just highlight all the fines that JP Morgan's had for those very same offences.
Yeah. I don't know. The annoying thing is, though, you can't get away with that on Twitter because, like, people come to arms and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But on that show there, you know, he wasn't, pushed against
back. No one's got community noting there, are they?
So anyone just watching CNBC just...
No pushback from there. Yeah. No.
It makes me wonder what his agenda is. Why is he even bothering to go on telly and do this stuff? And what's he trying to achieve from it? I don't know. I don't get it.
I guess he stands to gain a lot from keeping the dollar as powerful as possible.
But it should be.
And Bitcoin's a threat to that.
Maybe, but then why are all the other banks not doing the same?
Yeah.
All the CEOs.
But he has got a bit of a platform in terms of he's always invited to speak on these things.
Imagine if the head of HSBC, CEO of HSBC, decided to go and do that. They'd all get attention because they're all big enough banks and big enough companies, but they're not doing it. So why is he doing it?
Just ego? Raising his own profile?
It feels a little bit more like...
He's got a little bit of spare time.
I would not be surprised if he moves into politics. Like,
people have said about him going in to run for president.
Just building up a profile. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, conservative America is what he's aiming at.
Yeah.
So if that is the case... Bitcoin is an enemy to pick on. You always need an enemy.
Yeah. And if that is the case, then you could not trust a single thing he's saying about this enemy. Because he's doing it for... publicity.
Because he's a politician.
But he comes from an extremely trusted position. So millions of people will trust him.
Yeah, but if they read the headlines, they shouldn't.
No, but you're reliant on them knowing about Bitcoin at that point. It's a lot easier
but
to
agree
with. But
once a politician, will that be beneficial then to Bitcoin? Because it'll show you that he actually was playing the game through that whole process.
Yeah, well I don't know for certain that he would become a politician. Maybe but see that happening before, isn't it?
Like, I think there's been rumours on that.
Oh, okay.
Of all the insults...
We've just started them.
I was going to say, of all the insults, pet rock is pretty unimaginative, isn't it?
It's relatable to his audience, though, isn't it? No, as in, they understand what that pet rock phase was from the 70s, where you could literally buy a pet rock.
Could you?
Yeah, so his audience is now that age.
Oh, okay.
So it's back
that makes more sense now.
People made... Well, the one guy made millions selling a pet rock in a cardboard box. And it was called Pet Rock.
There's Pet Rocks on ordinals, isn't there?
That's quite interesting.
So you could actually buy one.
Was it the 80s?
I once did an outstanding render.
I remember, was it the 90s?
With this very box. Anyone remember it?
I remember.
I mean, I wasn't born then.
I can't remember, Dave. No.
That's a real pain point of mine that people say they weren't born then. That doesn't matter.
Oh, sorry.
You can have to sort of acknowledge when you weren't.
He's got a point, yeah.
You know about World War II, World War I, you know about.
Yeah, we get taught about pet rocks and GCSE history.
It's not whether you'd be taught, it's just something.
I got told about this instead of World War I and II.
Everyone had a pet rock in Fleetwood.
Everyone had a pet rock.
Right, okay.
That was it anyway. So the boy made loads out of that. Does it peak in the 70s? I think it was.
One genuine pedigree pet rock.
Yeah. Imagine being able to sell that.
Same.
What about next? 75.
Bitcoin hash rate drops by 34% amid freezing temperatures in Texas.
Yep. Texas hold.
Is it that cold in Texas?
Texas have a lot of the American mining. A lot of the hash rate for America is in Texas. And when there's pressure on the grid, I think there's an agreement with the Texan government that they will switch off and that it's unprecedented temperature drop for this time of year.
Yeah,
for them.
What did it go to?
Or freezing. So they all had to, yeah.
Was it really freezing, was it?
Yeah.
It's quite surprising.
I think a similar thing happened last year. People died, but now it's just showing them flexibility of miners where they could just
be that energy usage. It's a cold place.
It's normally not, is it?
No, it's normally cold.
But, so yeah, that's what happened. Basically, the miners switched off, let Texans use the appropriate amount of energy, and then when the temperatures have come back up, they've come back on. So the hash rate fluctuated because of it. It's the energy user of last resort, flexibility in the network.
It's good to see.
I thought it was quite cool.
Mm. Bitcoin saving lives.
Well, it's just showing the flexibility, isn't it?
Got to play on these marketing things the same way as Franklin saving lives. And Jamie Dimon do. So yeah, Bitcoin saving lives. That.
Yeah.
Well, Bitcoin become the second largest commodity in the US, surpassing silver.
Yes, this was a little bit of a... I did actually tweet about this as well, but it was a bit of a... It already was. People just finally noticed, I think.
Well, it's the largest ETF commodity, isn't it? So as soon as the ETS went live, it was.
Because it was grayscale. So people then clicked on and was like, okay, it's not surpassed silver. It surpassed silver the day of ETF approval, in theory.
How far off the flippening is it? I presume gold's one.
Gold's like 80-something billion, is it, I think? 86 billion, something like that. And
is that market cap?
Bitcoin. To be fair, though, Bitcoin is, when you take grayscale plus all the others now, we're like, is it 30-odd billion? It's the ETFs. If you go to my...
Gold ETF, yeah.
Yeah. I did a tweet. No, actually, you can probably type that in, gold. That's it. Total
leader more,
AUM. Get rid of market cap and put total AUM. And then how big is gold ETF market?
Well, have you already looked at this?
Yeah, I already looked at this. I put a tweet out. It might be easier to go to that. It's got the breakdowns.
I can't really get onto tweets.
Oh, I can't get onto
them. You need to be
able get it for you. Since a login.
Yeah, log in, Mikey.
I don't know.
Dave, if you give him the password and let him log in yours, that'd be great.
Still his little drafted renders.
Which one?
The inaugural
troll account.
Yeah. I'll tell you in 2 seconds when I get to
it. I was trying to render last night, but my wife has stood on my laptop.
Oh, intentionally?
No, I put it on the floor.
Oh.
You know when you momentarily put it on the floor?
Never do that.
Did it break?
The screen's jigged. I literally...
You were in the market for a new one anyway.
I nearly cried. Mm. I know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like now...
No,
like,
she's broke it, yeah.
Gold $96 billion. Bitcoin's $27 billion, but that'll be now different because this was like from a week ago. So that's thinking like $30 billion, is it now? Something like that. And silver's $11 billion.
Okay.
So gold is three. So we've got 3x to go before we hit sort of gold ETF region, which is a lot, don't get me wrong, but also not unachievable.
Mm.
Cool.
But that was it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump vows never to allow the creation of a CBDC in the United States.
Silly.
So begins his campaign.
Yeah.
He knows what the people want.
So I was doing an Amnesty International course last night on the arms trade. The Amnesty International is brilliant, by the way, for...
doing against this kind of watch.
No.
You're having it all.
I've not brought it up.
They do have a vast array of courses.
They have a vast array of interesting courses. Yeah. And I was doing one on the arms trade last night, just so for understanding purposes. And so basically, Amnesty International.
Just a disclaimer there.
I wasn't trying to. How do I get into this business? I was more like, well, let's have an insight in this business. And Amnesty International 2014 made it a legal rule. Some sort of global rule that if you had too many humanitarian infringements that countries would agree not to sell arms to you, right? And so the only countries that didn't sign up were like Russia and China. And then Donald Trump was relatively recently in his campaign to get elected, said he would unsign that. I couldn't believe it.
Like, why would you? It's interesting.
I know. Mm. Just put so on the terms of moral compass, where your morality is at, mm-hmm. you're quite willing to unsign a document that says so he wouldn't sell arms to countries like that. Mm. He's now saying he would be more than willing to do that. So
what countries would he? What would that even impact on? What countries would he then sell to? What other countries fall into that category?
Any country currently under investigation for humanitarian, like Yemen.
That's what I'm saying. What countries are them?
Yeah, there's a huge array. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. But you're going to get them from the US.
Go on the international website. Amnesty International website that will list all the countries. It's very interesting.
What's their take on CBDCs? Do they have one?
I haven't seen them on yet. I'll probably do that course further down the line. Interesting resource, though.
Nice side.
But it wasn't side road, but it's just to say that that's the morality of the man. That's what he's willing to do, is put anything.
Well, this was actually on there because Mikey spotted that he launched his NFTs, and was it an hour later? Then came out with this saying that we would never allow the creation of a CBDC. Because he's launched his official NFTs, hasn't he? The Donald Trump NFT.
I think he'd launched the cards just before, I think, and then came out and said that he wouldn't allow CBDCs.
So the guy's all over the place. But
are you an official Donald Trump NFTs?
Apparently, on Ordinals.
Yeah.
Oh, is he a Bitcoiner all along?
He's anything that gets him attention or makes him money.
Yeah, he definitely barely knows about this, probably.
Yeah. I think to fund that campaign.
Looks like you have no one to run against.
I know, yeah. I
think they're all pulled out, hasn't everyone's it? Pulling out. Yeah. And then they think Biden will pull out due to health issues.
It's going
to
be Trump.
It's going to be no Democrat.
Run on his own.
So he doesn't even need to do these things. He just needs to, needs to put his hand in there.
But there's been states ruling that he can't run. I know, he's been accused of treason. Yeah.
So that's why it gets dicey.
So you've had half the country accusing him of treason and half the country wanting him back in.
Well, half the country would accuse Biden of treason as well, I'm sure.
Mm. No, but not in the court. Like they're official, can't take Biden to court and get him for treason, but they've taken Trump to court and legally proved.
Mm.
So it's a bit different. I mean, this is supposed to be the world's most powerful economy with the USD. So we're all supposed to be, the global benchmark of what a currency should be, and this is how the...
He said no to CBDCs as well, though, which is interesting that if he does get in and he say no to it, we'll see how that plays out.
Because that was Ron DeSantis' big thing, wasn't it? And he's just pulled out and put his support behind Trump just at this exact same time. Trump's done this.
I wonder if he's done that on purpose. Then.
Yeah. Is Kennedy still running as the independent? He was the Bitcoin guy, wasn't he? Everyone put his flag on. He was at a lot of conferences that
Vivek pulled out and put his support behind Trump as well.
He was a big anti-CBDC as well.
Oh, were they chanting... what are they, not the president, the vice? Were they not trying vice at that guy?
Yeah.
So these people basically dropping out to push
Trump better position through, might be vice president.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got to split the vote.
They'll have some sort of role under him, won't they?
Anyway.
So we need The Rock to step in and step up.
Well, that's your outside bet, isn't it? That
he's just got his name in right.
I was saying, now that they gave his name.
Free of charge, they gave it to him.
Who had The Rock?
WWE.
They earned the term The Rock.
Yeah.
It was his name in wrestling, wasn't it?
I know, but
they've just announced
the ownership of those two words.
Because it'd be employed. There'll be them two together.
Yeah.
Under what that is meant to be for, like, the purposes.
I feel like you shouldn't be able to own those words.
It's like The Rock.
Yeah.
Image rights, isn't it, style?
I don't get it. 100% get why he's trying to, maintain a revenue stream, but.
They signed him to the board of directors and gave him back for free.
Nice. Yeah.
Is that why you were talking about WWE in the kitchen yesterday?
That was one of the reasons.
Yeah.
So him for president.
Now that he owns The Rock, it might be
easy. He can run as The Rock. Yeah.
In America, I feel like we'll get to the point where it will just be like media personalities.
Yeah.
Which is dangerous.
Already is, isn't it?
The Trump is. But.
Yeah. No, but it's precedent there. Schwarzenegger was governor and Reagan was actually a movie. Reagan was a movie star before he was a president.
Yeah, that's true.
So they've already done it. It's populism.
Yeah, but I feel they were a bit more well-respected back then, whereas celebrities now. Mm-hmm. Like
Reagan was in Spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah.
The Rock is incredibly well-respected.
Movies to watch, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And they became obsessed with Star Wars, so, he's malleable. He'll adapt.
Okay. Maybe The Rock for president, then.
I'm in.
I don't mind him.
I'm in.
I like him.
He's a cool
I'd hope for him.
Of course you would.
price back under $40,000.
Oh, we've seen 30 again.
Yay. Dave was wrong.
Oh, Dave, you're wrong.
Bloody hell, Mikey.
SEC swim. I can't say that fast. SEC sim swap.
Yeah, so they're a fake announcement of the approval the day before, a couple of days before, on their official Twitter account. They've done the investigation. It was due to a sim swap. Due to a swim swap, and 6 months ago, one of the staff members removed TFA.
Yeah, oh, that was weird, wasn't it?
So it was on.
Yeah,
and they removed it.
Removed it because I think the staff member couldn't get access to the account.
They wouldn't have mentioned that if Twitter didn't call them out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no.
And then I think I just highlight this to highlight the dangers of SMS 2FA. Really, just SMS verification in general. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to get SIM swap nowadays. They would have just rang up the phone carrier and pretended to be the person who owns the SIM,
and get just a few details.
Yeah, and just get them to swap over the SIM.
Right. Or an inside job at a film.
Or an inside job, yeah.
So, don't use SMS verification for things.
Mm. And I'm surprised we haven't seen yet a more introduction of, like, more secure packages when you have a SIM contract of, like,
don't lock
certain it. Things that locks it down to be able to be SIM swapped. Maybe we'll see that as these attacks become more prominent.
You have to physically go in and give me a fingerprint or something to make sure you're swapping the SIM over.
It says here that the 2FA was turned off 6 months prior to the attacks. They had it off for over 6 months.
Yeah.
That's not just I couldn't get in, so I've taken it off. I'd say I've disabled it permanently for the situation.
And also, it's also weird to think that that account was actually had a mobile phone number on it.
Mm. Yeah.
That was just someone went and bought it at a shop.
Yeah. But every Twitter account has said this.
I know, yeah. It's quite weird, though, isn't it, that the SEC is a government entity there.
They've got their little Twitter phone.
They've just got a phone knocking about the office. Yeah.
The phone in the office. Yeah. It's got Twitter on it, basically.
Yeah.
And then someone just waited for the perfect opportunity to humiliate them.
Yeah. Ended the perfect post because it looked so legit with the graphic.
Yeah.
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 It was beautifully executed.
So, talking of crazy.
Talking about scams.
This is a wild video.
Online pastor, he has been charged in a worthless crypto scam, but he said God made him do it.
So him and his wife, they made $1.3 million from it.
Wow.
Half of that went to the IRS, he says on the video. And 200 grand of that, the Lord told him to renovate his house.
Well, I think he made over $3 million, so I think he must have, the 1.3 must have been stuff that he's kept.
Yeah.
And then half went to the IRS.
But basically, the video is just him admitting to the crimes.
Yeah, is that what he's done then? 200 grand, so half of that was 1.5. 200 grand's gone to his house and he's got 1.3.
$3 mil.
You're not saying misheard God.
Yeah, look at that direct quote of just admitting
the Lord
financial
told him to give his followers 10x returns. Oh no, he only did it, sorry, because
the charges are that Caitlin and I pocketed $1.3 million. I just want to come out and say that those charges are true.
His only defence is he hopes the Lord provides him a miracle.
He's going to need one.
Apparently, the Lord told him to 10x their money, but then didn't say how to. So he was just waiting for, like, a miracle, essentially.
Someone to list this coin.
That's brilliant.
It's unreal.
Is that him?
Yeah.
It's an insult. Renovated house. That looks really nice.
It does look like his 200 grand renovations going into that, though, yeah.
It's horrible because people have been scammed out, but also, like, who's bought into that is also, it's just ridiculous. But it's such a, like, it's unbelievable to see such a scam like that for quite a large amount as well. And it just openly, like, oh yeah, we did that.
Like, from a supposedly, you know, reputable, pastors are held in a bit higher regard than, you know, most people.
I think you see that quite a lot in America, do you not? The pastors with their multi-million pound houses and massive churches and huge organization that gets lots of donations and no transparency in how they're spending it. This guy just happened to use a coin issue mint to get it.
Yeah.
So it's a bit more, it's actually more transparent than most.
And then admitted it all on video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting what he gets in terms of a sentence and things that what happens.
Well, he's praying for a miracle. So.
What's the maximum sentence, do we know?
They've probably never had this situation before, have they? Where
God
made him do it.
No, it's fraud. It's just the charge, whatever he's been charged with, there'll be a maximum sentence on it. It'd be interesting to see if he gets maximum, because, I mean, he's literally publicly acknowledging it. He can't get anything but maximum, surely.
Up to 30 years for bank fraud.
Up to...
Would it be securities fraud?
Yeah, it depends what they're charging with, I don't know.
I think it's not even... I think it's not the SEC either, it's their local State Securities Commission in Colorado that are doing it. Yeah.
Right. So is this only going viral because he misheard God?
No, you didn't mishear him.
That's what he said.
At one point he says he must have misheard it.
Oh, so God said don't do it.
No, he just misheard him.
Oh.
You can't be sure what he said.
We don't know what he says.
Reel it in now.
Oh, well.
It just seems some lies just made up, doesn't it? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy.
Absolutely.
It's mad that stuff like that exists in this day and age. Right.
Automobiles. Is that a luxury handbags?
Cosmetic dental with luxury handbags. And luxury vacate. Like,
it's a weird thing on any fraud, though, isn't it? Like, any fraud, like, if you see in any newspaper, not that they take the religious element out of this, the weird stuff that they all just spend on holidays, and you're just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
It just means so much to so many people that to be seen as being luxury wealthy and lifestyle. Successful and having that like envy of a lifestyle that's just not achievable.
No.
Sad, really.
And they'll commit mass fraud just to try and achieve that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Is he really a pastor? Did he do this all along to fake it all?
Did God really tell him? We never know.
Anyway.
Okay, last one. Mt. Gox confirms creditors' Bitcoin addresses for repayment.
Mm-hmm. Sweeping.
Sweeper Scott.
Sorry. Sweeping. I think on most of the news articles, they say is it 800,000 is the quote, 800,000 Bitcoins? Say that somewhere. I'm pretty sure it's about 800,000 they're all quoting, which is actually the amount that went missing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only, is it only about 160,000, 130,000, is it? I think 130,000 that are actually being recovered from Mt. Gox. There's only 130,000 to come into circulation. So the numbers you've seen backed around are like saying, it's $33 billion worth of Bitcoin. It's not. It's like, maybe about 4 or 5.
How are they doing it? Giving people back the Bitcoin or just selling the Bitcoin, giving them the fiat?
Giving them back the Bitcoin, I think. Yeah, so they're asking for Bitcoin.
The source of this news is just someone on Reddit posted an email they got from them. So it's not like an official Mt. Gox announcement. It was just an email they got saying, please can you confirm your Bitcoin address?
But it has been on the, I thought it'd been on the cards for a while for Mt. Gox.
They kept pushing it back, didn't they?
It just keeps going back and back and back and back. So, and it also says, like, in the next 2 months, I think I saw one of them say, you pulled that number.
Yeah, exactly.
That's also made up.
No, but they want to line that up with the halving. So it looks like halving,
maybe
like the supply squeeze will come in, but then there'll be this on the other side of it.
But it's just, I think a lot of people as well, if they've not cashed, so what, there's a big thought process is why would you cash out that Bitcoin as soon as you get access to it?
The assumption is that they're all selling, isn't it?
Which is, but most people have been able to sell, a lot of people have been able to sell already to creditors effectively, saying like they'll give you, is it 15%? They're offering pretty crappy deal sort of thing, but 15% of your holdings, if you take it now, thinking that they may not get anything back for many years or they may not get anything back at all. So a lot of people have potentially sold that. So they might be sold. So the ones that have already theoretically sold are going to some sort of law firm or whoever that is, the entity there, and they will have to sell that to recuperate their money if they want to sell it, obviously. So there will be a portion, without a doubt, selling. But there's also a portion of people that haven't and they're holding out still, and they will get that Bitcoin. If they've been holding out this many years, it's been 10 years since this happened. So it's like... why would they sell at a time when the price is, in theory, a low point after a bear market coming into a potential bull market with a halving coming up?
Although it must have been extremely painful and horrible for 10 years, it is probably still the best investment they could have made.
Oh, yeah, massively, yeah. And also there's the... Well, something else there.
So no, I was just going back. I was trying to find about that pasta, but
that amber you on from the past.
The Bitcoin Cash is also being recovered from this. So the Bitcoin Cash is also being sent to, I think, addresses. Mm. So how many of people actually sell the Bitcoin Cash and buy Bitcoin?
Mm.
That'd be another angle, different thought process.
How?
Or would they just keep the Bitcoin and sell the Bitcoin Cash if they wanted actual money, fiat money instead? So I think there's a lot of moving parts to it all, and I think people, obviously speculation is always going to happen. I don't think anybody really knows what will happen, and similar to what we've just watched with the ETFs and Grayscale, some they'll bleed a little bit, some will come out, some won't.
So if you were, if you add an address that you sent to Mancox from, could they only return to that address? I wonder what the process is on.
No, you've got to provide all that.
Provide one.
Also, you've provided like, I think, your ID, photo ID, and all that sort of stuff, right, anyway, and prove that it's you to claim that, and then they'll give them an address, and they'll send to that address.
Okay.
I think they've said a Bitcoin cash address and a Bitcoin address, two separate. But there's also lots of spin-offs of Bitcoin as well. Like, you'd theoretically be able to go and recoup as well. No, you wouldn't actually, because these are transactions. Yeah. They can go and recoup that, but others can't.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. What about all the other Bitcoin forks that, even if they're worth tiny amounts, 140,000 Bitcoin adds up to a chunk, I guess, there. And they could probably go and recoup for themselves. I'm guessing they're going to ignore most of them, aren't they?
That's it. That's today's pod.
Nice.
Well, that's a short one.
Mm. It's heavily ETF at the minute, isn't it?
Mm.
Distractions.
Yeah. Anyway.
Going to clap us out.
You do an out clap?
He claps in. Sometimes he claps out. I don't know.
Let him clap.
I can clap. I'll clap out.
Clap out.
We're at 39 diamonds.
Sometimes I just see him in the corner of the room.
Just clapping to myself. That's when I've lost the plot.
Mining update. Office mining update.
Oh, yeah.
Still haven't found a block yet since.
So there's no update.
I don't think so. I haven't checked today.
I checked yesterday.
Yeah. So we're on track soon.
Soon.
They're doing about three a month.
Gosh.
3 a month.
It's going to be a happy day.
It's going to be a decent payout when we finally get it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. But still keeping us warm.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Maintaining about 20 degrees in this room at the minute.
Yeah, maybe. Probably under.
I check it every morning. It's about,
is it?
Just under 20, about 20.
Part of the life of the CEO, just checking the temperature of some rooms.
That's what I do.
It's fine, because I spend
most of my time in this room, like, really checking the morning. It's warm and it's still, it's still going.
Right, sound.
Part of the process. Cool.
Okie dokie.
Thank you, guys.
Cheerio.
Peace.